Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 29 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 29 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 26 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 26 degrees.
NADVF mobile.
NADVF WHCPT, how you doing?
Don, it's 6:30 and you're retired. What the hell are you doing? Happy birthday, man.
Well, thank you. You know I got a weird sleep schedule. I tried to stay up 24 hours, a day or two ago. And then I went to sleep at 10 p.m., slept 4 hours, woke up, couldn't go to sleep, went back to sleep again at like 10 a.m. and slept till 6, so I'm still awake.
Does that knock you out to where you got to sleep for a whole day straight?
Actually, no. Like, no matter how much time I stay awake, I usually wake up in 6 or 7 hours, no matter what, and then I can't go back to sleep. And then I'm up, like, all day, 12 hours, I don't know. It's probably because I drink so much Mountain Dew. I probably just got, like, I don't need no sleep. I'm all hyper.
All jacked up on Mountain Dew. I'm the same way. I can't sleep past 8 hours. If I do, I'm more tired than if I slept 4.
Yeah, well, once in a while, I do sleep like 8 or 10 hours, and yeah, same thing happens to me. I'm more tired. But no, I mean, I slept 4 hours, and then I slept probably like 6 or 7 hours, and I'm wide awake. It's crazy. I'm getting close to your old stomping ground, too. I'm heading back down the Sterling Heights area. School section in Kreiderman.
I feel like I moved to a new world moving this far west from where I was at.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where you're at, but I know if you start going west toward Dryden, then there's all them horse farms and stuff, and I know they get real ritzy out that way.
I'm not that far west. I'm like a half mile to a mile west off of 53 on Dryden Road, so not in the Metamora horse country.
Ah, okay, so you're almost to that restaurant on that bar, or on the hill. Who knows what it's called now. I know it was a It was a stomping ground when I was 21-ish.
I think it's like the Pine Lodge or something like that now. I actually really like that place. It's funny, I haven't been there since we bought this house. But anytime we were out this way, we'd always pop in there because their beer was always ice cold and their food was good.
Yeah, I remember back in the day they had a really good food. It was called the Lumber Lost or Lumber something, Lumberjack something, I don't know. This was years ago. Back when I was like 21 to about 30 is when I went there the most.
It's funny because I was coming back from, where the hell was I the other day? I was on the west side. Oh, I went to the Huntsman on Saturday. And I was coming back home, and it's literally, that's the other cool thing, is the Huntsman's like 6 miles from my house. But I took Dry and Road home, and I drove right past it. It was like, I looked at my GPS, it was like 1.6 miles or something, 2 miles from my house.
Ah, okay, that's cool. Well, something dead in the middle of the road, something little. But, yeah, no, that's crazy. So, yeah, that's a nice area out that way, though. I'm sure the taxes... Well, I don't know if you're far enough west for the taxes to get jacked up higher or not.
Let's put it this way. I was paying about $7,000 a year in taxes to live on a half acre in a house built in 53 in downtown Armada. I'm paying $5,000 a year to live in a brand new house on 2 1/4 acres in Elmont. So I'll take it. I got way more room, way nicer house. I'm not living on top of people dealing with moronic local policies and governments and paying less money. So, yeah, hopefully they stay around there. I don't see them getting too crazy because I think everything in Elmont Township is 2 acres or more. So it's not like they're going to start popping up subdivisions and need infrastructure and all that crap. But who knows? I think they can change that every 10 years or something.
Well, that's crazy to me because I've got just shy of 8 acres, and I don't even want to tell you what I pay on my taxes. I think it's not even over $2,000 for the whole year.
Oh, I believe it. It's because they keep jacking everything up.
Yeah, when I first moved in there in 2010, it was only I don't even think it was $1,200 a year, and yeah, I think it's $2,100 now. So yeah, they jacked it up pretty good from what it was in the beginning, but yeah, it just blows my mind. Like my parents in Sterling Heights, I don't think they're quite as bad as what you said Armada was, but they're pretty bad. A lot of high taxes. It's just like they should be coming cutting my lawn and rubbing my back and who knows what else for that much money.
No, I agree. I taxes are good for, you know, specific reasoning, and if you get services from them, and parks, and you know, quality municipalities, and police, and fire, and all that fun stuff, like, you get shit in Armada. That town sucks. There's nothing. You got to pay for garbage water. You got police that were funded by the state. You know, the DPW is the most worthless thing I've ever seen in my entire life, so it's like, what am I paying you guys for, to live on a half acre?
Well, come on, European, so you could go into that little park and paint that rock every once in a while.
The ghetto gazebo, yeah, no thanks. I do not miss that town. I'm glad I left. At least my money is going towards, you know, land. I say land, but 2 1/4 acres is way more than the half, 0.47 acres that I used to have, so it's nice that I can look outside and I have one neighbor. The rest of it's farm fields.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, and hopefully your neighbors aren't too close because, well, you don't hunt there, but, yeah, I was just having a complaining session with my friend Gary here driving back. I was out trying to get all the wasp nests and stuff that were in my deer tower blind because the window fell open and I had my bee suit on and everything. I had the four-wheeler running. And there was kids screaming, and I look, and they're literally 50 yards from my deer blind on my property. So the parents would just let them roam around, and it's dangerous. That, and it's scaring the deer away.
I'll never understand how parents let their kids do stuff like that, or let, trespass and all that. It's just like, keep your kids on your damn property. Same thing happened. My buddy had 10 acres in Oakland Township, and I was in a pop-up line on the ground. And we were hunting, same thing. There's kids running in the tree line from the neighbors, you know, on either side, and they're on the property 50 yards away from where I'm hunting.
Yeah, I'm gonna put up some new signs that are visible, and I guess I should probably go knock on the parents' door and say, you know, it's dangerous. It's my property. I pay for it. You don't. Keep them on your property, please, for their safety mostly, and see what happens. Cause, and the bad thing is it was a school day, so either they're homeschooling their kids or they were 5 years old or under, not even old enough to be in kindergarten yet.
Yeah, and the worst part is if they get hurt on your property, then they can see your ass.
Yeah, you're the second person that said that, man. How the heck is it my problem if you're trespassing and get hurt on my property? I just don't get that. You shouldn't have been there.
Pure Michigan, man. Liberal policy.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. I'd be definitely fighting that, especially if they didn't have no permission to be there. That's why I put signs up when I bought the place, but I printed them on my computer on like picture poster paper, then I laminated them, and I found out that that don't last very long. But luckily, they're still on the trees where I put them, so I know exactly where to put the signs because I had it surveyed when I bought it, and I put the signs up by the stakes, so... So yeah, we'll see. It's just, you know, number one, they're not scaring my deer, and number two, they could get hurt or shot.
I did the same thing. We bought our property, and farmer next door is typical weird farmer and worried about the lot lines and this, that, and the other thing, where I'm going to drain my water, and it's like, dude, piss off. So I went and Amazon's actually got a bunch of no trespassing signs that are pretty nice and cheap. But I put two of them on my front line on the telephone pole that says properties under video surveillance, no trespassing, yada, 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 which it is. I sound nuts, but I have every square inch of my property on camera recording 24/7 because I got little kids, I got a nanny and whatnot. So it's like, you know what, dude, I'm going to be able to see anything that's going on at my house. And I'm glad I do because this guy's a weirdo, but I finally talked to him and pretty much told him, it's like, dude, you know, F off.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, and the messed up thing is, you know, I got trail cameras covering my field, my food plot. I don't ever get the kids on them, so they may have been told, don't go in the field, but... You could stay in the woods, you know. So they figure as long as they're in the woods, they're okay. They don't realize the property ends probably about 50 yards behind their house, if that.
Time to high fence it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about maybe putting above barbed wire fence back there or something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes when I put the signs up and talk to them, but. But no, I hear you. I even got a camera on my deer blind that detects motion in the direction that they were the other day, and that's never caught them either. So I don't know. Maybe it was a fluke, and I just happened to be out there. But I know when I turn on that camera and watch live, I can hear them screaming a lot. Because I'm like, what the heck is that? And then I listen closer, and I'm like, oh, man, some kids in the house behind there. But anyway. But yeah, that farmer, I don't know. And these, you know what, these people, if you've ever driven down where I live, down by Rattle Run, you see all those barns that say Winn, W-I-N-N, it's one of the daughters.
That's the problem. They think they own everything. They think rules don't apply to them because they're a farmer. Farmers are some of the weirdest people I've ever met.
Yeah, especially ones that own, like, 25% of the land in a township, they feel like you're right, they feel like they own everything. But anyway, I'm going to be nice, and then if that don't work, then I'll be calling the DNR and have them knock on their door. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's the best way to approach it. As a father of children, I would, someone was like, hey, your kids are on my property and I'm hunting. I'd be like, listen, you little shit. Stay off that guy's property. But most people don't parent like that anymore. Everyone else lets the kids parent.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The only number I had was the next door neighbor to them people. So I texted Jeff, he hunts and everything, and I knew he had two boys, but I was pretty sure that they were a lot older than that by now. But he's going to have more kids for all I knew, so I asked him if it was his kids, and he sends me back a text. He's like, no, that would be yada, yada, yada's kids, and they're good kids, but they're so loud that I can hear them screaming when my windows are shut, and I'm trying to sleep, and the parents don't really watch them, so... Yeah, you need to go say something to their parents. He's like, and it might help me out, too, if they actually try to tell their kids to be quiet. I was like, oh, wow.
It's one thing to live in the country, but you still got to be, semi-respectful and cognizant of your neighbors. You can't be keeping neighbors awake and trespassing and all that, but I don't know. Hopefully they're understanding, and they're like, yeah, our bad. We'll keep a closer eye on them.
Yeah, I'm always pretty respectful. And, like, if I didn't hunt and I knew somebody else was hunting, then I would purposely make sure that I wasn't making noise during hunting hours. But I guess that's just me. Some people are nice and give a crap, and other people don't give a crap at all.
That's because you're a hunter yourself. I've heard people going out of their way to make sure that if you're hunting, you have a bad time. I have not had to deal with that, but not intentionally. I remember I was hunting last year, the year before, 2 years ago. I was sitting in a Millennium tripod line in Richmond in a marsh, and a tractor and a hay wagon full of Christmas carolers were driving in the field next to me.
Oh, no. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. That's like my boss when I worked. He lived down Cape Back Road somewhere before 69, and he let the neighbor kid hunt on his property because he had a big chunk of property, and the neighbor next door didn't want anybody hunting there and killing the deer, so they owned guns, so they would go out in the morning and in the evening and target shoot on purpose to scare all the deer away. And the kid that was hunting there started taking video of when it was happening and ended up saying something to the DNR, and the DNR says, you continue to do that at them hours, it's going to be considered intentional and hunter harassment, you're going to get a ticket. So it kind of curved it. Then they just started doing it randomly throughout the day, I guess. But yeah, that's just BS.
I just can't understand why people are like that. That would drive me nuts. And it sucks that DNR can only do so much, but they're not wrong, right? It's obvious they're doing it intentionally at these time frames to ruin someone's hunt. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that the areas I hunt, they're big enough private property where I don't have to worry about it.
Wow, that's good. I mean, I'm constantly seeing deer in my cameras and stuff, and fox, does. Most of them are at night, of course, because during the day, obviously, I have disturbances. But there's enough deer there that I could get a decent buck every year, sometimes two. So, that was my hardest thing, though. I used to hunt in the UP, where I didn't have to worry about anybody bugging me. It was quiet except for nature sounds. And then when you start hunting where you got a neighbor 250 yards from you, and it's getting to be last light, they get home from work, and they fire up the lawnmower, and then they fire up the leaf blower, then they start a bonfire, and you're like, oh my goodness, you hear all the cars going by on the street and everything, and it took a lot of getting used to hunting from total quiet to that.
DBF. Yeah, I can relate to that. to that. I'm hunting a couple spots for same exact thing. People get on, you hear a car door shut, you hear the garage door open, they fire up the leaf blower because it's fall, and it's like, oh my God, dude.
Well, I will say that the biggest buck I've shot on my property now, I was literally sitting there cussing out the neighbor to myself because he vacuumed his car with a loud vacuum. Then he started leaf blowing. He fired up the tractor, and I'm like, I'm not going to see nothing. And in walks this big old buck, and I shot it. So I'm like, okay, maybe as long as they're staying by their house and making the noise, deer are used to it, you know. I was so mad that day, and then this big buck walks in, and I shoot it. That was great. WHCPP.
That's one thing you got to remind yourself of. They're probably used to it. If, you know, it's not like that house just got there. They're used to the noise. They're used to the people. They know where they can go, where they're safe. So I've seen crazier things happen. I've had a combine cut. I was sitting in a tree line, and I had a combine cut a field behind me that was beans, and then I had deer in front of me that weren't even fazed by it.
I don't know if you heard that transmission or not, did you?
No, I didn't get any of that.
All right, yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're in good now.
All right, I'm at 28 Wolcott. It's kind of like where you don't know which one to use. It switched to the Warren one. But no, I was saying I mow around my pond, and my food plot and my deer blind, I go right behind it. And when the clover's in there, the deer are always in there eating, and it's like every time I go around the pond, I could probably yell out, "Hey deer, how you doing?" And they just look at me. So yeah, what they're used to is okay. It's the eyeball noises.
Good morning, 0700 hours, mostly cloudy.
Yeah, they get to the point where they don't care. Even they'll be near my parents' backyard, they'll be sitting outside and they don't care. Never during season though, obviously. But anyway, how am I sounding? I'm running that new setup. I put my 2x4 back up. And I was able to open Romeo and the 675 from my driveway, which is new for 675, and then it seems like I've had pretty rock solid receipts this whole way. I'm sure I was a little scratchy at first, though.
Well, until that transmission, you've been coming in great. So if you sounded droppy, maybe it was me, because I was on the pin all the way to like, until I just switched to the Warren here, so maybe I was losing the risk.
No, I'm 53 between 24 and 26. It's a hole, and I don't think Romeo is any better than Warren, but I'm on Warren right now, and it's like it just drops.
Well, I can tell you this. I heard when Don dropped, he dropped, so it was definitely on Don's end. Morning. Good morning, Sean. How you doing? Go ahead, Dakota.
Morning, Sean. Yeah, I didn't hear anything. I figured I was definitely in the footprint of Romeo and Warren, and I didn't hear anything from Don. So I don't know if it was like a false key up or what, but yeah, I didn't hear you, Don. And then that hole, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, I guess there's a lot more elevation or lack thereof than it looks like. But as soon as I crest the hill on 53 north or southbound and there's the 24 mile road sign, it's like crystal clear, full quieting from Warren.
Yeah, it's funny up that way. You wouldn't think. But I still don't think we've got every bit of performance out of Romeo that we can get, but that being said, it's still deceiving. Anywho, everybody's sounding good otherwise. Just gonna stop here, get me a coffee, then I got some field work today, and I may get the Richmond reprogrammed today. I'll let everybody know. Well, that would be a good day for me because I'll be back down in the city. Have time to change some of my radios. But, yeah, when I dropped, Sean, I had switched over to the UMP, and I was hearing Dakota even better on there. But when I keyed up, I didn't hear anything when I unkeyed. So either I got the wrong tone in there, or I don't know.
Roger, yeah, no, I don't know. But everybody sounded okay now. I'm hoping when I get my 500 back, I'll sound even more okayer because I'm still rocking the 75 to the amp. I did put the 2x4 back on the truck now that I got that pocket mount though, so drastic improvement over the little 16-inch Comet that I was using.
Yeah, like I said, you sounded great the whole time until you asked me how you sounded, and then it got a little bit better.
Sean, are you getting your coffee?
Oh, no, I was just fuddling with the radio and getting ready to turn in here to the coffee. But, anywho, 27 wonderful degrees. I think it's upon us. They're calling for snow, I heard. Did you see the forecast? Anything serious or just a light?
I seen a map that said either 1 to 3 or 2 to 3. For the whole area from, like, Detroit all the way up into the thumb, so I don't think it's going to be a major event. Do you hear anything, Dakota?
Nope, I have my blinders on. I'm just taking it one at a time and waiting for the lights up to start flying, so I haven't checked.
All right, well, 1 to 3, 2 to 4, it's not a big deal. The drive be back. All right, I'm going to be...
All right, I did hear that the wind was going to be 40 miles an hour from, like, afternoon into tomorrow morning, so if you were still listening, keep that in mind.
I was really going to put my new mount to the test. Hopefully I don't lose an antenna. So when I first called out and you picked me up and I was saying, holy crap, you're awake, was I sounding good then? That was at 53 in Dryden.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you basically were coming in, like, 5-9 great until you asked me how you sounded, for real.
Hell, yeah, that is exactly what I was hoping for. I ran that RG8X through the truck last night and put all that stuff on, and it's, like, night and day. Receive, I was hoping transmit was going to be exponentially better, too.
Oh, yeah, I love that 2x4. The only thing I'm not sure about is when I had that Woshan radio, the TG, I don't even remember what number it is now, but anyway, that Woshan mobile, I was making contacts on the International Space Station with that, like pretty good. And then I put this MD-9600 IT with the OBD-77 on it, and I don't make very good contacts in here or nothing at all, so only thing different besides the radio was I switched to a Chevy truck from a Ford, so I don't know if having some aluminum, because my roof ain't aluminum, and I don't think my hood's aluminum, but other parts, the side panels and stuff, I think are aluminum, so I don't know if the aluminum has something to do with the propagation when I'm trying to talk to space or not, but it definitely ain't as good as it used to be. Same as the 2x4.
On the Chevy trucks 2019 and newer, any of the swing panels are aluminum. The bed and the body are all steel, but doors and hood are aluminum. But yeah, I don't know. If you got a mag mount on the roof, that's steel. It shouldn't make that much of a difference, but yeah, it is weird. Yeah, those 2x4s, I don't think they get better for the size. I just, the thing's always blown my mind when I've used it far, far, far away. Like, oh, I'm never going to get in here, and then I'm making it in. Like, the best I've done with it so far, I was at, like, 69 in Lapeer, and I was getting into the 675 repeater, which is just ridiculous. But I think I'm due for a new one. I pulled mine out of the basement last night. It's, like, I don't know, about a year and a half, 2 years old, and it's It was a little corroded. I cleaned it with an alcohol wipe. I'll try to do a better job. I need to get some, like, electric and some contact cleaner, but I think it's time for a new one. All the paint's chipping off the bottom and stuff, so I'm assuming whenever I had it mounted on either my Tacoma or my old work car, I don't remember which one it was, I may not have threaded down far enough and some water was seeping into it. I don't know.
You're running a mag mount, Don?
Yeah. I never decided to get a hold of you and help me with the with the other way of running it.
Well, I mean, the only reason I bring it up is that if it's sticking to your roof, then your roof ain't aluminum.
Right, yeah, I know the roof is steel, otherwise the Magnamount wouldn't be sticking to it. Yeah, the roof is steel, and I think, what do you say, the bed was steel, but the side panels and the hood are aluminum, I guess. So I didn't know if steel versus aluminum on, like, the hood and the bed affects any propagation or not. I would think not, but...
All right, cool. All right, I'm at one of my tower sites. Looks like my crew's already here. I'm going to go inside and see what's cooking. I'll be back out here in a few. W8FU.
See you later, early bird. Don, if you want help, man, I figured I have it down to a science now. It took me about 2 weeks, 3 weeks of planning to figure out how I wanted to do my truck. But you only have to drill one hole in an aluminum grommet underneath the cab that gets you right underneath the back seat, and then you can run something to your. They have light mounts, like taillight mounts, like my Tacoma had, or you can do a steak pocket mount like I have, and they make NMO to where you can get an adapter and run your hand stick off of it too.
Adapter, and I run the ham stick stationary off the mag mount. So, yeah, Sean was saying that he's got the stuff to actually drill the hole in the roof and do it the right way. So, I'm kind of contemplating that, too. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to get to the point where I don't want an antenna on my truck. So, you know, I think I'll probably end up going that route.
I thought I heard you, Anthony. Good morning. And, that's definitely the way to go if you want the best performance. I'm just too afraid to drill a hole in my roof, especially since I don't keep my truck long enough for it to not matter. So I always go the least permanent way, least permanent install that looks the most factory. So that's what I tried to accomplish on this one. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. And yeah, you need to do something that's removable. I think in the year and a half, 2 years I've known you, you've had three vehicles, so you can't have anything permanent.
You took the words right out of my mouth there. I was gonna say he's had quite a few vehicles, but yeah, I pretty much keep mine for 5 to 10 years, depending on how well it lasts. So. And honestly, I don't really care if it's got a hole in the roof, as long as it doesn't leak. And I think Sean said if you needed to cover it up, it wasn't that hard to do either. So either that or just try to sell the truck to another ham. Go ahead, Dakota.
I know. And I'm trying to get rid of this truck, too, because I want one of those new Hummers. But I got to wait for these lease deals. They're getting better on these stupid EVs, so patiently waiting. But yeah, I had the 21 Silverado, the Tacoma, and now I got the 24 Silverado, so I don't keep vehicles long. That's why I lease them. Anyway, I just got to work. I got to get inside and knock some stuff out before Boss Man gets in back from his trip. So I'm glad that my setup's working, Don. I appreciate chatting with you the whole way in, and I'm out at 4 today, so if anyone's around, I'll be out here. I'll be clear of you, gents. NADBF.
Good talk this morning, Dakota. Have a good day, and if I can get in the car early, I'll catch up with you this afternoon.
All right. Well, have a good one. Don't work too hard, and I hate to do this to you, Anthony, but I'm at where I'm going too. So I'm gonna say see ya to both of ya, and I'll definitely be back on in about 10-15 minutes or so. If you're still out there, I'll give a shout out, Anthony. Take it easy, both of ya. WHCPT.
Sounds good, Don. I'll talk to you later. I probably will be in the car 10-15 more minutes, so maybe I'll catch up with you later. Have a good day.
Okie dokie.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
I am well. I'm on the way into the office, wishing I was still in bed, but other than that, things are good.
Yeah, there you go. I just stopped in at one of my sites. They're going to be taking down for some electrical work, and I thought the impact was going to be greater than it was, but after talking to the crew and them explaining what exactly had to happen, it's going to be significantly less impactful than I thought. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, and it's good to start getting stuff knocked out this early. Man, you're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, well, that was negotiations yesterday. He calls me up, the project manager on this one calls up. I got a big project I knew was coming next week, and this is preparation for it. They got to do some electrical work, and they got to pull a rack, which has got some equipment in it, do some electrical, add some circuits, and then put a different rack that's already prepped and staged, ready to go in its place. In the interim, while it's down, the stuff that was in that rack will be offline. So they called me up like yesterday and says, oh, by the way, tomorrow. I'm like, wait a minute, time out. So we negotiated about the time and all that. And I told them, I said, look, this has got to be, you know, this time, this. When I thought it was more impactful, the time was a lot more critical. Now that I realize it's a little less impactful, then the time is not as critical, but I'm still glad we get it knocked out early.
Yeah, that's good. I'm hoping to get in a few minutes early, which means I'll get out a few minutes early. We'll see what happens. But I was looking at the weather this morning, and it looks like we might get a little bit of snow tonight and be awfully cold in the morning, so we'll see what happens. Winter is here.
So does that mean right now we get to say, winter is coming?
You know, Sean, I think that's exactly what it means.
There we go. So, yeah, I heard that. Well, I'm going to probably blast up to Richmond this morning and get the Richmond frequency shifted. And I don't know if you get up that way at all or if you have that programmed in any of your radios, but I'm going to get that fixed. That's the goal. Depends on what I find when I get into work, if I got other things that I've got to do. But I think I'll shoot for that if it works out. And then hopefully if the snow flies, then I won't have to go out in it tomorrow instead. Then I can meet Wally for breakfast.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's just, they're saying in between 8 and 11 p.m. tonight, 1 to 3 inches. So, you know, what that could mean is a dusting to 1 inch or 3 inches to 6 inches. So, who knows? But it's supposed to be awfully cold in the morning.
Well, it's 27 now, according to my automobile, so it's already cold. See, not quite frigid, but yeah, even colder than that. Wow. That's, I'm not a big fan of the cold. I don't mind it. I can dress accordingly, but I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I don't mind the cold at all. Sorry, I was flashing my brakes at somebody that didn't know how to drive. So, yeah, dress accordingly, but at a certain point, it's just too cold to do things. So, you know, I have no problem in this temperature range, but when it starts getting down closer to zero, it's no fun.
The biggest problem I think I have with the cold is you can always dress accordingly, but you can only dress accordingly for a certain level of activity. And then you got to be very careful about how you do it. You know, if you're going to be doing something strenuous, you know, where you first fire, then, man, you got to be real careful how you dress. And it's not so bad when, you know, like deer hunting, you know, you got to hoof it out to your blind. That's, you know, that with all the gear and everything like that, that's a little exerting, and then you sit, you know, perfectly still. Whatever, turn on the heaters if you do that. I never did that. But I do some biking, and I've done some winter running as well, and that one's weird because, you know, you know, if you're gonna bike hard or ride or run, you know, that you can get away with a very, very small amount of clothing if it ain't windy. But the problem is if you stop. Oh my God.
I know what you mean. I've been my mileage and feel some pounds here because I've let it get a little out of control, and I've been running, I've been running every weekend, and I'm on a 5-day streak so far, hopefully going to take it all the way into the new year, but I was out last night, and I don't think I've wore pants yet. I'm in shorts every day. We'll see what tonight brings, if it's colder, but, you know, it's, if it's not too windy, you don't have to deal with the wind chill, you can get away with not that much clothing, like you said. I make sure I have a hat and gloves on because my fingers get real cold real fast. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
Yep, as long as you don't stop, that's the key. So, you know, the biking's the tough part. You know, with the running, it's not bad. You know, if you just leave the house, you know, you got a route, takes you, you know, whatever your run is, and then, you know, get you back to the house, portal to portal, then, you know, you don't stop running anywhere along the way. But biking, you know, my son and I used to bike together in the dead of winter, and we would go, you know, we'd drive like, you know, 15 miles, and then we'd, you know, stop and get a coffee, you know. Well, that, on a couple of occasions where it was really cold out, man, we pay the price for that because once you stop, you start to perspire a little bit, you know, and that starts to turn to a little dampness. But then you get back out, and that, you know, then that gets cold, and you're dressed light because you're riding hard. You know, so it's like it's that's the one where it's a real killer. But it's that stop that gets you because then you have a little chance to perspire, and then that turns into hell.
It most certainly does. Yeah, when you're out there doing stuff like that, it's cold, the sweating is your enemy, and that's just, but it's also the nature of the beast. It's a tough thing to...
But quite manageable, you know, if you're conscious of it, so that's the key. First time I ever did it, I wasn't aware. We rode down to Ferndale, and we stopped at the Red Hook to get a coffee, and we got out of there, and it was like, holy cow, it was bad. Ah, geez. That was only 11 miles, but we got 11 miles to go with a light flashing. anyhow, what else is new and exciting? There was a couple of other radios on that list I sent you. I'm going to keep one. And the other one was gone early on, you know, so that's kind of, and I think you were just looking for a mobile, right? That's pretty much what you were looking for.
Yeah, it is. I gotta look again. I haven't had a chance to do any research on those. I wanna I think I saw the one I would like the Yaesu that was a fusion radio, but I saw that, as silly as this is, I saw that the ICOM radio that was there was chirp programmable, and it'd be awfully nice to be able to just not have to buy any software and just program it with some, you know, free software. So I got to do a little bit more research, see what we can do with it.
Oh, yeah, no big deal. Yeah. Now, that was, you know, that was another one where I thought about, you know, keeping that one's, you know, I'm not, but I thought about it because that's a good radio. It's one of their early fusion radios, and a lot of guys get those. They're quite popular because, you know, guys will get those and they'll use those for wires X nodes. And, you know, along with that, there's a piece of equipment you got to get along with it. But they make one of the more economical wires X nodes. But anywho, I sat there, I looked at all of it and everything, and I just said, you know, I can only, I gotta pick. I don't have enough to get them all, and I shouldn't. So I said, okay. And the one I got's not digital at all.
Yeah, I could probably live without the digital, you know, but I do have that fusion repeater right down by me. That would, it'd be nice to have a fusion radio, but I think it might be a little bit more complicated to program, where the ICOM radio would be easier. And, you know, really what I'm going to use it for is for a radio in the garage, talking to all you guys and talking on my node and, you know, on this FBI repeater and stuff like that. So, and if it may have been Mars modded, you know, maybe able to listen in on some GMRS and talk every now and again. But, I just need it to be easy. I don't need an undertaking. I just want to program it and move on and have it in the garage and talk on it.
Yeah, that one will be almost ideal for that. So, all right, well, whatever you got to do, no rush. It's not going anywhere. Got your name on it. So that will work.
Did you figure out your vacation days? You got them all laid out now?
No, I've got, I've still got just about 7 to burn. And, you know, if I get all the way to Christmas week, there's 4 I can burn there. So that leaves me 3. So after this week, there's only 2 full weeks before the Christmas week. So, man, time flies, eh?
I don't know that there's, you know, there might be 14, 15 business days left in the month. I might want to get that figured out.
Yeah, we're getting close, so I got to do something. I don't know, maybe I got to get with my son. He gets, as I think I was telling you before, his days off are Thursdays and Fridays. He works afternoons, and then he gets Thursdays and Fridays off. And so I ended up taking a lot of Thursdays or Fridays off throughout the year as a result. But I had to check with him to see what's going on here, see if there's anything he needs to work out or get done, or anything I need to work out or get done where I need his help. I got one project. If I could do that. Nah.
Yeah, I got that week off in between Christmas and New Year's, and then I got the next 2 Mondays off, so I figured out how to get the rest of my days taken care of. So it'll be interesting. Like, time is flying, man. It'll be the new year before you know it. I can't even, I every day I look at the calendar and I go, holy crap, I only got two and a half weeks left that I've got to get everything accomplished for the rest of the year. And, oh, it's exhausting, but it'll be nice to be off.
I just heard over on the other one somebody saying there's another 8 to 10 predicted to come in with this storm. No, I haven't heard that.
What? You heard on the other side? It must be somebody that's in Sheboygan or something. I know they're supposed to be getting hit. Last I looked, we're 1 to 3 tonight, and I don't think there's any more snow happening, but... Holy crap, that would be an interesting turn of events, wouldn't it?
Well, let me go over there and ask them. You got it in your car?
Yeah, I had it turned down. I'm listening now, though.
That'll be it if you... Okay, there you have it.
Yeah, those guys have been getting hammered up there. I think storm total... Over the weekend for Gaylord was 34 inches, and now they're talking another 8 to 10. It's could be shaping up to be quite the ski season. I've been trying to decide if I'm going to head up this weekend and ski, because all the places are opening up, or if I'm just going to stay home and get some stuff done, because I certainly know I'm going to go up a few times the rest of the month. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, if they're going to have, if we're going to have good snow, then you'll be good. But do you want to risk it with the winters we've had recently? If you get a good chance to go skiing, the way things have been the last few years, I think I might grab that opportunity. But I don't ski, so maybe skiing's been okay the last couple of years. I don't know. There's not been a lot of snow, but I know they make their own.
It's been okay, but certainly not good, and not like, 40 inches good. So, but it's early. We'll see what happens. We're due for a good winter. I don't know. We'll see. I got some stuff to get done around the house, and which will allow me to open things up for the rest of the season. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it sounds like an opportunity then that you could pass on if you need to. All right, I just pulled in here at my shop. I got to get inside, collect up some equipment, check in, see what's going on, and maybe get moving north. Take care of that Richmond repeater. Travel safe. We'll catch you later. W8FU after yours.
All right, Sean, it was good talking to you. I'm also just pulled into the parking lot, so. Got to go hit the grind, but I will catch you either tomorrow or this afternoon. We'll see what happens. K8RUH, have a great day.
W8CPT.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 24 degrees.
WATAP.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 25 degrees.
NAKPP.
Good morning, NAKPP, NAW.
Hey, what's up? I was trying to see if Sean was out there a little bit. I was supposed to meet him somewhere in a while, but he must not be on his travels yet.
Nope. I've been listening on this machine and heard nobody in a while.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought maybe I missed them because I've been on the phone for work all morning, and I wanted to make sure I didn't miss them. So, what repeater are you on? Can I ask?
26 minutes.
That what's that? The Detroit one?
Yeah, Magic. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, I'm on the Richmond one, but I'm doing it on a mobile radio with a power supply and an outside antenna. So, sorry about the cough. I should be in there fairly well. How's my modulation? Because I'm not using my regular radio. I'm using one of those TTYs or TYTs. What do they call this thing? TYT.
Yeah, Roger. Yep. Nice little radio. I got one. I got the first one they made. 868. I'd like to give me one of those 878s portable. Or even that mobile. That's 5. It's 575 or something like that. That's pretty little nice handy radios. DMR radios. No doubt about it, yeah. Use a voice, but I'm a little hoarse today. I've got a real bad cold.
You're the third person today that I talked to that said they got a real bad cold. It's starting to concern me. At least I'm talking to them on the phone. Two on the phone, one on the radio. So, John, I hope you don't have a real bad cold.
Yeah, okay. I guess I better warm up me some hot lemon water tea or something. So, all right. Yeah, we'll be monitoring. This is November 8th. We just, November 8th, we're just leaving.
Very good. Pleasure talking to you. I'll be waiting for Sean. Supposed to meet him in my neck of the woods. Go ahead, real quick, by D. NAKPP. Good luck with your cold.
That was great.
Good morning, 1000 hours, mostly cloudy, 26 degrees.
Are you ready for the cold, or actually the snow?
Well, ready as I'll ever be. So it sounds like they're expecting 1 to 3 in this area, I'm guessing?
Here it was like just like around the edge with 40 mile an hour winds. I don't know. We get used. I had a look this morning, though.
Well, it does seem a little gusty right now, so the wind looks like it's coming in. I don't know. I hear other people talking. I don't have any firsthand secondhand knowledge, because really, if I'm getting it off the news, aren't I getting it secondhand, getting what they're saying? I'm not even getting it. I'm getting it thirdhand. Somebody else saw the news. So, you know what I do know? We'll get whatever we get.
I 100% agree. In Ohio. Imagine that. Cleveland's going to get
flooded. Yep, we've been pretty lucky with regards to, the snow in the last couple of years. There hasn't been much of it. But as long as it stays really cold, then the snow should be fluffy and light. It's some 35-degree snows that kill you. You get all slushy and miserable.
Yeah, then we get that stuff, and then they plow down my street, and then they block on my little park cart, so it takes me 2 hours just to dig it out.
Roger. Anyhow, Wally, are you out here? NAKPP from WAFU.
Ike is, what's your 20?
Well, that would be my location.
Yep-er. What's your 10, 20, and 23?
Oh, you want to know what my location is. Okay. Yeah. Just kidding. I am getting on 94 at M59 as we speak.
Very good. I shall start the little white car. It was running once today. And this is 2.225, right? I'm putting that in my little DMR handheld.
That is correct. 442.225. Same PL, same offset, all that stuff. So just 400 kilohertz down the band. Should Richmond should be changed to that within the next couple of hours for those listening.
There you go, Tom. We're cutting you out. So you pay attention to the 442.225.
I heard about it yesterday. I'm on 26 right now, so yeah, once I get done over here at Great Lakes, I will reprogram that frequency to the memory channel. Oh, by the way, did you have my email, Wally?
I don't believe so. Of course, I didn't look aggressively for personal emails. I've been terribly busy at work. When did you send it?
Last week or over the weekend. It might be from my ADT22 at ATC, or could it come to my Gmail? I did a zip file and sent it to you. I got some instructions in there for that software for the script that I got.
I'm going to have to look, dude. Lots of traveling going on. Got to go back to the west side of the state this weekend. Although, for you guys are talking about the weather, for what they called over there, I might get exemption to have to go because they're calling for 10 inches of snow Friday and 50 mile an hour winds, and Wally is not going to deal with that.
I don't blame you. I did financing yesterday, and I got to go back there next Monday.
Hopefully they got it fixed by then. So, yeah, it's been kind of windy. So, hey, guys, I'm going to hand this back to Sean, give it to him. I got to get a coat on, a hat on, and get the car started. So I am going to disappear for about 5 minutes. Sean, over to you, which is proper ham radio etiquette in 8KPP.
So, should I go there and get started, or, I mean, you beat me there, or do we want to meet where we were last time? I don't really care one way or the other. Just let me know, and I'll set my bearings.
You want to go see George? We can do that first, then I can have a breakfast.
What is go see George?
Okay, I'll meet you there. In 8KPP, back to Sean.
No, I said, what is Go See George? I don't know what that means.
Village Cafe right there at the stoplight.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, perfect. I'll meet you there.
Very good. I'm writing the 225 to my little XDR right now.
Are you guys changing this because we lost the 625 or the lease run out or something?
No, 625 was on loan from Central Michigan. The Seaman guys, they got a 625 repeater that was off the air. And so Fred and I were talking. He says, you know, just put it there. And then, you know, while we were waiting for our coordination. And our coordination came in over the weekend. And we got 225. So so now I got to go put an official listed coordinated frequency into the repeater, and then you know, the 625 relinquish it back. But you know, we figured the 625 was safe to put it on these last several months, waiting for our coordination, because one, the co-channel inhabitant was off the air and with their blessings. And there's two things they consider when they do a coordination. It's the co-channel and then the adjacent channel. And so they won't dole out a pair if it's got a nearby co-channel or a nearer adjacent channel. And in the case of 625, who's the likely complainer on 625 on the adjacent channel? Oh, guess who? 600. I don't think the guy with the 600 is going to complain. So we said, hey, this is safe. We'll go up with 625. No one's going to complain. And when we get our coordination, we'll move it. So that's what we were on loan, and just putting our own coordination in it now. All right, you got real noisy on that last one. I heard Sotha, and then that's about it. Yep, you're at the end of your rope. See you when you get back. And for those traveling on East 94, I have seen three troopers with trucks pulled over. So I don't know if he's targeting trucks or there's some sort of enforcement thing going on, but there is more state police work going on here on I-94 than I usually see, so be advised.
So keep that in mind. So going to the kielbasa with the eggs, it's really good. I like George's cooking.
You know, Richmond has better, I got so caught up in that trooper pulled over. Did I pass my exit? No. So I got to go all the way up to, all right, I'm not sure. I think I screwed up and missed my exit. Now I got to go all the way up to Marine City Highway. Yep, here's the rest area. God darn it. Idiot. Richmond has a lot of really, really good restaurants. I'm surprised how many they got for as small as they are. And I used to like Ken's best, but I kind of like that place the best of them all now.
Yeah, Kansas is pretty good for lunch and for dinner, but for breakfast, I still like Country Inn. I like George's place. He's got some pretty good stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that the best place is bad. You're probably walking up on 26 Mile Road, then I would turn right, go to County Line, and take that, and then get right up behind Kroger there, and you can jump up to a...
Negative. That's my normal route. That's the way I normally go. I missed it. So now I got to go all the way up to, what is that, St. Clair or Marine City Highway? It's a 32 mile anyhow. Whatever you guys call it over here in this godforsaken part of the country.
Yeah, the Fredmore Highway. Yeah. Well, at least you'll get right there on the corner.
Just got to go way the hell out of my way to the east. So, oh well, I've done this once or twice in my days. When I was so caught up watching all these state troopers with all these trucks pulled over, I passed my exit.
When you're on time, you get there before 6 o'clock, you can stop off and meet the park.
All right, you're in and out, so I know you're up there a ways. I'm going to pay attention here so I don't miss another exit. I'm out of my element here. There's another rest area? How many damn rest areas are there between 26 and Fred Moore. W8FU. You out here yet, Wally?
Crossing county line and, across county line and, 26. So, out north of that, probably about 7-8 minutes out.
Well, I screwed up and I failed to get off at 26, so I had to go all the way up to Fred Moore. So I'm currently Fred Moore, somewhere in the boondocks east of downtown. So I have no idea how far I am, but I hate when I make that mistake. I've done it a couple of times.
Okay, very good. Timing should be good then. Going over the top of the highway right now.
Okie doke. Well, first one there, get a table. Anyhow, I have no idea how far it is here. Never. I rarely come this route. W8FU.
KPP. You beat me.
NAKPP from W8FU.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 26 degrees.
NAWGL monitor.
Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 28 degrees.
W8FU, testing. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Sounds good over here in Clinton Township, but it's all
right.
All right, stand by, guys. We're working on a repeater. I just didn't take it off network. I probably should have done that. Sorry. All right, guys. How copy? This is W8FU Richmond. The Richmond 225 on the air. Roger. Yeah, okay, Tom. Now I got coordinated up here in Richmond. We were running Richmond at 625, and then the coordination came through, so I had to move it. 400 kilohertz on the band. I don't think I've got to even tune the duplexer. I mean, I could optimize it, but anyhow, I'm lazy.
Yeah, well, I heard you guys talking about you were getting ready to head up that way earlier this morning. And you were commenting about the number of law enforcement officers on 1084. And they're done that,
All right, John, well, your signal sucks bananas right now, so I'm going to let you go. I got to get back to working on this anyhow, so I'll be back in a while. Dove, you had a feet.
It's online.
Sean, you sound solid over here, W8RCY.
ADTR, did you copy me on the direct to Richard?
Hi. Are you now, or were you trying earlier?
No, I'm an FBI, the main one now. I could hear it, and I'm at 14 I-75. I tried to get in, but I guess you didn't hear me.
Oh, yeah, that's a real, real iffy. Try it again. I thought I might have heard some scratching.
I can't even key it up now.
Yeah, I can barely, I'm not far from there at home, and I can barely hear it on my outside antenna, so it's, not good. Anyhow, there might be some tweaking to be had here, but I didn't have to tune the duplexer. It was close enough, so I'm gonna, because I'm lazy, I'm gonna do that, and then I'll get a duplexer tuned up on the bench. If I have to run it out here, I will. Anywho, I'm gonna get cleaned up here. I'll be back. W8FU.
Okay, I'm gonna be. My destination is like Harper and 94, so I can try it from there too.
ADPR. NA KPP on 2.225.
NA KPP, this is NAWRO Richmond. I'll copy.
Very good. Where are you at?
In the city, about 7 blocks away from you guys. Name here is Tim, Tango India Mike.
Very good. Okay. We're standing right in front of the repeater, and we'll have to see how it does for distance. Duplexers are close, but we're working on getting them perfect, but that might take a few days, maybe a couple weeks.
Understood. NAWRO.
How it sound now on 225? Hey, what up? Hey, Phil.
Yeah, you copying me?
Lots of noise, but I can make you out. NAKPP, I'm here with Sean. He's doing some documentation. You're going to need a bigger antenna. Try us in a bit.
Okay, I'm higher up. Are you copying now?
Affirmative. Still a significant amount of noise for what you're not known for. So, okay. Yeah, we got 2225 up and running, and it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's what I'm on. Give you some signal reports. Now, 94 in Little Bank.
Okay. Oh, you're heading north or east, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, this is about as far as I'm going. My exit. So, all right, just wanted to give you a signal report. Catch you later. Have fun, guys. AB here.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. That was pretty good there, so... Little Mac is about the end of the string for it. That's still darn good.
Now I got to program all my radios.
WNFU.
KZAZ.
Morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good. Good afternoon, Sean. I'm just reprogramming my radio for the New Richmond, doing the program dance.
All right. Are you on it now?
No, I just booted up my Windows machine. I'm on Warren right now.
Okay. I am... I don't have, all I have is one little $10 HD programmed with it right now, which I'm on. So I don't know how far, you know, away from the site I can get before I have to switch over to the mobile. I don't have it in my mobile yet or anything else, so there is that. And I do believe there's a dB or so to get back out of it. The duplexer didn't need tuning. You know, for to work, but I think there's a switch to be had, and I got a whole another duplexer I'm going to do up on the bench and then drop it in later. So, FYI.
Well, I know you'll be squeezing everything out of it that you can, which is awesome. So thanks for doing that. Okay, I'm going to reprogram this radio right now, so I'll be clear, KZ8Z.
Roger. W8FU. Those of you on 225, you are listening to the new Richmond, Michigan 442.225 repeater. Over.
That's 444.225 KEATFM.
Entirely possible I said that, but that is incorrect. 442.225.
You said it correct. I'm doing a million things, so it routed incorrectly in my head.
No problem. Anyhow, I've got on this frequency is this little Redivis RT85 or whatever the hell it is. So I'm going to run this as long as I can and back monitor on the Warren 2.6. But I got to get all my radios programmed as well.
I just hate it when people switch frequencies, and I got to go through all my radios and reprogram. Why do people do that? Why? Anybody know why people do that?
Well, because I was borrowing one of your frequencies. I had to give it back. Plus, the adjacent channel coordination was getting pretty sand in their panties. Whoever has that 442.6, like the 625 adjacent, they were getting sand in their pants. But, you know, then eventually my arc acts and... You get your own pair. I'm just glad this one was up in a repeater poor area, so to speak. Pretty easy to get a coordination up here. Get down by where I live, and not so easy.
Okay. Sounds like it's working good.
Yeah, I know the jokers that put up the antenna. You know, they're duffers, but they got it. They got it done.
Yeah. That's not the one me and Paul put up, is it? That's the one the Cameron put up?
Yep. This was Cam's. That was west of you. Or east of you on that day. So, that's the one we got to get to and swap out the two antennas and put in the multi-combiners, the multi-coupler, and stuff like that. We never did get to that this year, so we'll put it on the slate. You guys have been pretty busy, though.
So let's try to put that on the agenda for when the weather breaks in the spring.
Yeah, it kind of fell off the radar when the GMR stuff fell off. So still would be good to get a GMR repeater there, though.
Yeah, last we talked about an MI5 machine, and then then you talked about something, you know, doing the dual network machine. You know, the GMRS, I'll still put that in for the guys in St. Clair, you know, but that is a big who cares anymore, big who cares burger anymore, but I will put that in for them, and then you know, and then of course this one, 5025. But yeah, I gotta get with Paul, get all the equipment, and we gotta figure out when a good time to do that is.
Do you remember something got stolen out of the garage out back, I think you said. It was something for that project. I don't know if I think it was a feed line. I don't think it was a combiner. Maybe it was a combiner too, I don't remember. Something got stolen. Probably somebody broke in and stole stuff. So, yeah, I don't know about Brandmeister, unless you had equipment and wanted to do it. Maybe a packet note there. But that would require a VHF antenna too, so I don't know. It gets new, but yeah. I think a DMR would help out there. Get out further than Mount Clemens.
If I remember, I think the hard line come up missing, which I was really hemming and hawing over using old 7/8 versus new half. Plus I've got new 7/8 already running for one of them, so it's just for the one antenna. So, I mean, I guess if I had some 7/8, some high quality 7/8 to make the run, I suppose I'd consider it. But anyhow, there is a VHF receive antenna there. TJ's got an antenna there, and it's got a receive multicoupler. Do you need transmit and receive, or what do you need for VHF for the packet?
X50 or something like that, transmit and receive. So, and then if we did that, we could actually do a split on UHF. Take the TDM and open it up. Bring the receive and transmit lines all separate. So, you know, you could obviously run the receive. Hold on, keep it up still here.
All right. Still carrying it down here by Tractor's Supply. 26 miles, that's it. Sounds like I'm getting noisy, but 2 watts on a rubber duck, so I have no idea how this performs. I'll switch over to one. Wally, how you hearing me?
County line top of I-94. It's okay, but I don't know if I'm making it back.
Yeah, I don't know if you were doubling with me or what. I see it was active. I just had a phone call. Yeah, we did a packet. We haven't done this yet, but I want to take it. Transmit and receive out of the radio separate, so we could run the receive to the receive multi-coupler and transmit to the transmit combiner. It uses the same frequency on both, you know, it's simplex, but it won't pass. I'm pretty sure it won't pass back to the transmit combiner, so it's kind of an idea I got, I guess, in the back of my head to be able to use it for a port on UHF. Yeah, we would need a VHF antenna up there, X50 or something, to pull that off.
a real problem. We can accommodate that. We'll have, you know, we'll sit down, you know, let's, at this point, you know, we'll wait till spring. But let's see if we can't get that on the agenda for as soon as we can, and get all that stuff done. And I think I've got, I don't know about the duty cycle. I've got XDR, you know, 8400, so I've got a DMR machine or two, so I could do that, but I hear that, I don't know, I have no experience with them. I hear they're a little less than robust.
Yeah, well, what you do is you turn them down, run them into an amp, and then run the amp, let the amp do the muscle, and let the 400 just flag along. It's really good if you got one of the low power ones, one of the 25 watt ones, because then you can turn it down to 1 watt and drive an amplifier with it. That really work well, but put an amp on it, let the amp do the muscle.
I probably got a MSF UHF amp power supply. Wonder how, wonder if anybody's ever tapped one of those for this kind of work.
Yeah, well, I think the PERC, which is the same amplifier as the MSF, the driver amp and the PERC, I think it's 10 in, 100 out, if I remember right, or something like that. And then the final amp, 100 out.
All right, then we'll sit down on it and scratch it all out on a cocktail napkin, figure out everything we want to do up there, what we're going to need, and then try to get that all in place, and then that way we can have everything ready to go. Come when the weather breaks, and then the first available opportunity we can get crew to do that. I know there's a few other little odds and ends looking to do down this way. Gonna have to figure out a few things. But I kind of want to, I'm thinking about making a switch to the RTCM, thinking about, you know, biting the bullet, spending the bucks, getting RTCMs and doing the voting on the 2.6. And it's just really matter. I gotta get that first one done. I gotta get that 7.2 finished up with that, and I'll have some knowledge of it, first-hand experience with it. I gotta tap into Fred when he's got five. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's real funny. What are you running for a transmitter there? Is it a Quantar?
Which one, the 7.2 VHF or the 2.6? 2.6 is a 250-watt Quantar. It's a beast. The 7.2 is a MTR.
Yeah, the one you want to put the RTCMs on. Quantars, we tried and didn't have any luck, but...
Good afternoon. 1300
sure.
Hours.
We always got to Dan on to find us some raw 20, audio.
9 degrees.
Dan claims there's got to be raw audio there because of what they do with the Quantars, but I don't know. Not sure that's the problem. We ran into it with the 147.38 in Flint. We got a Quantar on it, and I ended up putting a CDM for a receiver in. Took one of the slots, and cut the cover, and put the CDM in there. And that's where we're running for a receiver on that Quantar, because it's running voters with the RTCMs.
Yeah, I got to give it some thought. I was thinking about switching to a different receiver, you know, for all the receivers and CDM, something like that. I don't know. And just because of the persnickety Quantar when it comes to that. So I don't know. It's all very much, you know, just thinking it out in my head what I want to do. And I know you talked about the
the value of doing a local receiver, and but I also like what I can do not doing a local receiver. But I get it. You know, you're opening yourself up to issues if you do that. I know all about the caveats. So I'm just thinking it all out. It's all just rough sketches here and there and stuff, how I want to do it. But I'd like to get at least two, if not three, receivers in on that main receiver. We got six, maybe Detroit, Pontiac, and Mount Clemens. And then, then that one will be, then the other ones will just remain standalones on the network, probably dual mode. Get them on some sort of a C25 network. That's another project that's on the back burner. So we get Donut Day to let us know what direction we're going with that.
Oh man, I wouldn't mount that modem. I'd just put another repeater up on P25. That way they're both there. I don't care. I don't like multi-moding that. Just a preference, but I know mine in Guilford, my VHF, you know, I got it set up to be able to come in on analog. It's not that much use, but I just don't like. I'll try that till I die, Sean. You want a local receiver? Even our network is just stuff happens. So for what you lose by having a local receiver there, you gain way more.
Yeah, I hear you. I know. That's why I said caveats aside. I know all the reasons, but I don't know. We'll see. Have to give it some thought. But I've got other ideas. I could have a local receiver and do it differently. I could do, instead of having a deflector, I could just have another antenna vertical separation. It'd just be lower. Or if those times do a fallback in cabinet or something like that. Anywho, I am well aware of the caveats of doing it that way. So we'll see. It's all just chicken scratch on paper right now. Got it. One thing at a time. And after a blazing spring, it's been pretty much crickets over the summer and the fall. So maybe I'll be up for a little bit more on this come spring. We definitely do got to get this, I got to get with Paul and get that stuff and start working on getting Richmond at least ready to go in that regard. Lost your job. You're gone.
Oh, man, I thought I lost my internet here. I hit the change the darn channel, so I didn't hear what you said. I don't know if you heard what I said or not. And I asked if you still plan on putting at least one can on transmit side, right?
Oh, yeah, I'll have a circulator and, filter on there for sure, but, it's the local receiver that I wouldn't mind not having.
Gotcha. Is that going, where does that go, the hospital?
Well, if I do the receiver system like I'm wanting to do, I'll probably put the receiver at the hospital, leave the transmitter at the, where it's at. And then I'll just do the receiver over at the hospital along with, receivers at, other locations. So the receivers, they'll be multiple, so therefore I can be slightly less worried about, them. But, probably put the receiver back over at the hospital.
I guess I don't remember. Transmitter was at, I saw where Cameron put the backhaul up when we were working in Sterling, or when I was on the monopole.
Correct, yeah. It was the one that Fred and Cameron and I ran down to and got that air fiber
60 gig or 50 gig or whatever the heck it was. Put that up.
Yeah, okay. I thought that's what it was, but I kind of got a little confused there, so. That should work.
I need to get a sector antenna up there, or else a point-to-point, so that I can, so I can connect to that from my house, get on the 44 net natively.
Yep. Do you think the
Hey, hold on a second. Wally, are you in here? All right. One of us is dropping network a little bit. I just wanted to see if it was you or me. Thought a third party could shed some light.
Oh, I would bet money on it's me. Probably my internet connection.
Yeah, it's not bad. Just every once in a while, you know, lose syllables, words. But I'm almost at the shop. I'm going to get inside. I got to do a few things. Maybe work on programming my radios if I think of it. I always say I'm going to do that all the time. I never do. But that's the plan. So I will let you go. We can talk more about this, figure out a good plan for that bit. That Richmond Tower plays really nice up there on 69 and into, you know, Fort Huron, St. Clair. So that's a real wasteland for ham radio. So I'm, you know, I'm glad to get whatever they need up that way, you know. That might be an idea, you know, just not necessarily tell us what to do, but, you know, get an idea of what they would most like to see. So I got some folks that I... will that weigh in on that. What would you most like to see up this way on the VHF, UHF bands?
The MI-5 stuff, I definitely would like an MI-5 there. That would get into Port Huron, that'd be really cool. Help cover that area. So, anywho.
Yep, my analog machine and the MI-5 machine are a given. And then after that, we got two more UHF, and then if we do something else, you know. And then we got VHF receive off TJ. So, you know, that's what we have now, and then whatever else we need, we'll have to, you know, look it over and decide. But there's plenty of things we can do. All right, I'm here. Pulling in the port, gonna dock and get inside. Travel safe. W8FU after yours.
Sounds good. Yep, we'll get her done eventually. Like I said, kind of, I was really gone home because a lot of times that's what happens if we don't get after right away. It kind of falls off. And, yeah. But we get a lot in the last couple of years. So just the way it is.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees.
N1KRD Mobile. This is N1KRD. Name here is Nick.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours.
Jared, you come back again, my
32.
My radio sounded a little garbled up there. This is N1KRD. Okay, yeah, I got you that time. Kilo, Charlie 8, Kilo, Juliet, Oscar, yeah, it's November 1, Kilo, Delta. Name here is Nick. I heard you on the repeater before and stuff, and I'm just sitting over here waiting to pick my son up from school. I thought I'd answer the call. How's your day going so far? I got you saying I think you got all that, but I did not copy before that. I'm not sure if I'm in a bad spot here or if it's on your end or my end. What's going on?
I'm over here on the Telegraph and County Center. So I'm over here by the Sheriff's Department, Oakland County. So I might be just barely making it into the repeater.
Okay, gotcha. That time was better. Yeah. Over here in Huntington Woods at the moment, normally over in Southfield, but waiting here for the school pickup.
I'm probably going to be blasting my body on Telegraph, going down to 12 and Telegraph.
Okay, yeah, I frequent the area. I'm on a little further south, over between 8 and 9 mile Southfield Freeway there. South 11 mile right now. I'm talking about the QTH is over in Southfield, near 8 mile in Southfield Freeway.
Oh, all right. Usually we're reviewing one of the other frequencies. I was hitting that while I was in the Great Lakes crossing. I'm really surprised, so let's get to the repeater.
Okay, yeah, there's a couple of good ones out there. I'm not sure which one. I'm on the 2.6. That's always got a good receive. But yeah, over there by Great Lakes Crossing too, you get some. There's some hills and stuff. You get up on a high spot, you can probably get out a little further.
I was up there and I hit Richmond. I hit Warren. Couldn't hit Mount Clemens. Well, I could barely hit Mount Clemens. And I tried Romeo Tower and I couldn't hit that one.
Okay, I copied you there. It's good to know your the range and where you can hit repeaters from. It's always good to know. I'm not sure if there was another station trying to break in there or not, but Either way, I got to step out and complete this pickup here. I'll be back listening in 5 or 10 minutes. This is N1KRD. I'll be clear.
N1KRD, 73KCSOG, mobile monitoring.
W-8-F-U.
W-8-F-U, W-8-N-S-D.
Oh, it's the neck. Well, what repeater are you on?
I'm currently on Warren. I'm at 9475, just leaving the office. I just got back from the motherland.
Ah, there you go. Did you have a chance to put the new frequency in the mobile?
I did. I have it all queued up. When I get a little closer up that way, I'll flip her on over.
All right. I checked the duplexer, and it didn't need tuning. Well, to sneak that last little half dB, it does, but I just didn't want to do it in the field. So I had a spare duplexer. I pulled that, benched it. Got it all tuned up. Now I'll go back up and drop that in. So I'll be curious to see if you notice any difference. Like I said, this duplexer is going to tune for 625. And it's working just fine for 225, so for what it's worth.
We shall see. You're probably right. I probably won't notice anything on it. Close enough. Close enough for government work.
There you go. So I did not get my radios programmed. That was what I was going to do when I got back, and I ended up working on tuning up the duplexer, burn up all my time doing that. So it's like, arg, I should have programmed my radio. So I can do that. I'm thinking about taking tomorrow off, and maybe I'll try to. I hope I get cables and everything to do it at home. Not sure that I do, though.
Yeah, I know how that goes. You have to buy a bunch of cables for endless stuff for the fire department. So, got all that squared away finally. They're coming to look at what they got to do to install all my mobiles tomorrow. It'll be there at 10 a.m., so I got to meet them at the station at 10. And yesterday I was up at the Tri-State Post in Freeland finishing up our body worn deployment, so I was dealing with that. I had to go to Lansing today for our division meeting slash Christmas party, so that was today's adventure. So, making my way back east.
Roger. Yep, sounds good. Hey, which body do you go with?
The Motorola V700.
Let's see.
They're going with the M500 in the mobile, so they try not to interrupt our ecosystem. Our CAD solution is going to really put a damper on that. So. I don't know if I lost you there or not. I might be bad, but yeah, they're going to do the M500, and then we're just started our preliminary stuff to go with the Tyler Technologies for our CAD and our mobile CAD solution.
Sorry about that phone call. Where were we?
You were asking about body worn, the V700, and then they're going to go with the M500 and the mobile, for mobile cameras. And then we're going to start here looking to see what we're going to do with in-car modem. Those are up for replacement, so we're currently running the CradlePoint 1700, but we're trying to get back down to one SIM. We're currently running two SIMs, so we're trying to get it down to one, and then do some VPN and some tunneling, some of the traffic negotiation kind of stuff, and just starting within the last couple weeks,
we're going to award the bid to Tyler Technologies for CAD and mobile solution for dispatch purposes. So see where that goes.
We had the WatchGuard body worns, and we're switching to Axon now. That's the process. I think we've got some Motorolas in the jail, but mostly we're going to Axon. And as far as the, what was the other thing you were mentioning? Oh, as far as the Tyler, yeah, we've been running Tyler for years now, and they like it really, really well. They're very responsive, and they're very tunable. Which is the thing they like the most. You know, of course, I don't think you guys, you know, did play the Clemis thing. I'm not sure. You can comment on that. But, you know, the problem with them is that it's, you know, they're a juggernaut, you know, that's impossible to turn. You know, everything is by committee, and it just takes, you know, and they got a much more responsive and, you know, and customizable experience with Tyler. So, we've got that. They like it really, really, really well. So I'm guessing you guys will probably like it well, too. And Axon or body worns, I have no idea what, you know, what that's going to be like. I don't, oh, you talked about the modems. We do cradle points now. We're switching to 5G cradle points. And I don't remember the specific model, but they're supposed to be pretty much a cat's pajamas. Man, they're pricey though. Good grief, these 5Gs are—they're like triple what the old 4Gs were.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get with you and see what you guys are using there. I'll take a look at it. I'm on that group too. You know how that goes. You get roped into these work groups, things of that nature. But yeah, the Tyler's gonna be good. And like they told us, if you don't like something, call up to our office. We'll fix it.
That's no BS. You know Angela over at our place, or Liz? You know, reach out to them if you have any questions. They're great.
Yeah, we went and did a walkthrough over there when we were looking at Tyler. We went up to their office over on 18 Mile and did a whole day of, you know, going through everything. That's pretty much why they got awarded. They were hands down the best of what we were looking for. So. And what helps, too, is, you know, other counties, you know, throughout the state that use Tyler, we don't have to buy a separate license for it to do a CAD-to-CAD. It's already built in. So that's our biggest thing, is building our CAD to do CAD-to-CAD to other CADs, so the trooper only has to log in once, and it's already there.
Well, that's your ballywick, not mine. I know enough about it to be dangerous, but not enough. And I just take I take their word for it, your word for it. But everybody's been pretty happy. I know that. So what's concerning me is our choice for call takers equipment. You know, we've been looking at Atos, and you know, enough said on that.
Yep, I'm almost done with my VESTA project. Supposed to go live the week of February 3rd. So now that I got my AT&T VLAN problem fixed, so I got to push back a couple of months. So we got that fixed. We got one more round of testing with Motorola for that, and then the rest of this January will be just kind of tidying things up, ready for go live. So that'll be a nice thing off the plate.
What's the actual call taker equipment at this point with them? I know, you know, it was CallWorks for a while, but that's defunct. What's it now? I forget.
VESTA. They're abandoning the CallWorks portion. Well, not abandoning it. They're just trying to migrate everybody off of it to, I think, kind of make it go away on its own.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, no, I knew that. I mean, I'll tell you what, I was very impressed with it when it was first rolling out. You know, and I thought with big, you know, with the big bat wings behind it, I thought it was it would be a solid move, but that didn't prove so much to be the case. So I know we looked at the Vesta or whatever, that was a contender, but in the end they went with the Atos, so... again, I sit in on all of them as a kind of more of a fly on the wall from the tech, you know, from the implementation technical part, but, you know, as far as, you know, that's really more about the user experience and, you know, and the practitioner's point of view. Not being a practitioner, I just kind of say, hey, you tell us what you want, I'll figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too. I know a little bit about the front end of it, but more back end stuff, you know, networks and things of that. You know, like you said, fly on the wall stuff, like, you know, here, tell me what you need me to do to make it talk to here, there, and everywhere, to make it work, you know.
Ah, so much fun. Projects. What else we got going? You know, we're going B-prime coming up here. By the end of the year, we'll be B-prime. That'll be kind of cool. You know, it's a little out of your wheelhouse, but you might have heard about that. And that'll open the door for some other projects. And we've been working on that sporadically for the last couple of weeks. And hopefully that'll go all smoothly. I was out at one of my sites today looking at the equipment that's all racked up and ready to go. So much fun there. I don't know if you have any concern there except for outages that might occur. Did that already happen for you guys, or is it still, are you on Detroit's system, you know, for the RF in and around there, would be all off Detroit's, I'm guessing.
No, all of our consoles talk back to Northville via the fiber and stuff. Depends on if the cars are in Detroit. If cars are in Detroit, they're on RF. And my base backups are on RF. But other than that, my console talks directly to the Zeit controller.
It's a little different situation for you. But that's what I meant. You know, for us, the RF is far more significant than it is for you. You know, we're the same way. We're connected back to Northville. But you know, I've got a magnitude more vehicles dependent upon the RF. But the RF burps when they switch it to prime, and the centers can burp too. So I don't know if they, you know, so you will notice when they switch probably the Detroit RF over, you'll probably or somewhere you'll probably see it. Maybe not. I don't know. But you're more than likely. Because you got to be, I don't know how you're connected back to Northville. Are you on fiber direct, or do you hop into a tower, you know, without getting too specific, you know, if that tower is getting a V-prime update, you'll have a short little outage.
I think I brought up on a meeting today, I think they said we might get a little five minute flip outage, but, you know, have the backup radios ready kind of thing, you know. That kind of thing. They did it in St. Clair County, and I didn't even notice because they did it at like 5:30 in the morning, which is perfect.
Yep, and that's exactly what I'm referring to. So, yeah, right, I forgot you also have some interest in the St. Clair stuff. Yeah, we're doing the same thing, 5:30 a.m., the blip as we switch to virtual, and Then it opens up all sorts of cool stuff. We're looking at closing up the microwave path, closing up some paths, you know, redundancies, and putting in GeoDiverse Prime and stuff like that. We're looking at a whole bunch of cool things coming down the pike. All it takes is money.
Money is the name of the game. We're just talking about that at our division meeting. I'm trying to save money. CAD techs were carrying four computers. They're like, well, what do you guys get down to one? Yes, you buy us the right computer that we want. I can get down to one, no problem.
Hey, you know this other AES thing that's been the hubbub lately? Have you, are you guys like full multi-key, full suite of logarithms down there, or you got to do anything down there for that? I don't even know how much of that stuff you guys run out of dispatch.
I've been working at it because I work with the guys out of the radio programming unit, but no, they got all five algos now and key loaded just about everything. They got to come reprogram starting shortly. I got a call on it today, reprogramming mobiles in the district. They're looking at those two new talk groups
to go live sometime in February.
Yeah, so my question was going to be, did you have to upgrade the 7500s to, multi-key or add an logarithm or anything like that, or did you guys already have it all? Just need the load keys, because we're faced with a situation where I've got to, you don't need multi-key on a 7500, that's irrelevant, but I do need to add the logarithm, that's a story that's left for in person or on the phone or something like that, but I don't know if you went through that. You have to purchase any logarithms for any of your positions, but oh, do I have a story to tell?
Oh, I bet. No, we already had. They just had to throw the key in it.
All right, lucky you. Lucky you. Yeah, we do not, and it's been going on. I don't know if you remember Karen Mora with Motorola. Goes back to all the way to her. You know, the first time we explored adding this stuff. And what a roller coaster ride that was. But we're still not done, but we finally have a path. We're gonna get that all done. Yeah, a little bit of it has to do with this mandate that's not a mandate coming down from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, give me just a second. I got to put some fuel in the truck or I'm not going to make it home here. Give me a second.
W8FU. Well, I heard somebody, but I did not hear. It was noisy and chopped, so you might want to try it again.
That was weird. Is this working now? W-A-C-C-K.
No problem. I don't know what it was like. It's almost like, you know, you were talking and then you laid your radio over on its side and it dropped out or something like that. But no, you sound fine now.
All right, that's good because I just I just updated the Richmond and put all the coordinates in for all the repeaters I had my radio, so now this MD-9600 shows how many kilometers away it is. It's kind of neat. But yeah, I'm at 18 in Utica, and I can actually key up the Richmond on the new frequency, which is really strange. I could hear you talking too, and that's a pretty good distance.
Good, cool beans. I have almost no coverage of it from my house where I'm at. All I have to do is get a little east or a little north and it starts to pick up, but I'm definitely out of its coverage range, which is completely understandable. It's it's to extend the coverage up into the northern regions, particularly St. Clair. So I've been very happy with it, so knock on wood. I just wish the Romeo gave me as nice warm feelings as that one does, but well. I was talking to Jeff earlier today about, the extra work we got to do there and stuff, and, now winter's upon us, the holidays, so we're probably looking at when the weather breaks in the spring. Maybe we'll sit down, make plans, and get some stuff done up there. I still want to get my interest in the GMRS stuff has waned quite a bit, but I still wouldn't mind putting a machine up there, for the St. Clair guys if they want it.
Yeah, it would be kind of nice. I'd definitely use it, that's for sure. All right, I just thought I'd pop in and let you know. I think before I was teaching in my parents' driveway, so I don't think you did anything different, but I was kind of shocked when I could see it up and then I could hear you talking. It was scratchy, of course, but yeah, I don't think before I was hitting it. So I'll let you guys continue your conversation. I've been out for almost 24 hours, so I think I'm going to go to bed pretty soon. So I will catch you guys later.
All right, Don, catch you later. Get some sleep, and we'll talk to you later on. Nick?
Yeah, switched over. I'm on Richmond now. So, 94, almost to Harper.
Joe. You're sounding quite good for being that far south. Is that normal?
Yeah, I can actually hit it nice and strong. Almost good kind of hit.
Okay, there's some noise, but, you know, and of course you'd be full quieting on the 2-6 from there, but no problem. I just assume you stay on it so we can see how it's going to play. Like I said, there's no reason, nothing's really changed, you know, except for the frequency. But I did not tune the duplexer, and I think there's a little bit to be had. And I've got another identical duplexer all tuned up and ready to go. So I just, you know, next time I get up that way. Although I got all the site electronics sitting on top of the duplexer, so there's going to be that. So Wally made a good point. Get a tray. We'll install a tray, and then that way I won't have to worry about that anymore. That's probably what I'll do.
If you need a tray, I might have a tray.
Well, I probably have one, but I will take you up on that if I have to. You know, sometimes my trays are funky. They're either, you know, they've got the offset wings so that, you know, for the racks that are set back in the rack, or they've got little weird nubs in them or something, you know, to mount a consolette. So if I've got, I need one that's perfectly smooth without a lot of holes in it. So if I've got that, then I can go ahead and use it. But if not, I'll let you know. That might be the easiest way, though. There is a lot of stuff. I've got like four mini computers sitting on top of the duplexer, so. No!
Yep, I just moved two of them the other day when I was at the office. So, no, I have two.
Groovy. I've got that covered. Anywho, I'd be glad to hear how it works. I'll be getting home not terribly long. I'm about 3 miles out, but I will be curious to see how it covers you out, Fred Moore, all the way out to the house, and see if there's any difference on either way, talk in or talk out, because like I said, I did not tune the duplexer, so the duplexer is still tuned optimally for 625, and you know, we've dropped it down to 225. Had I known it was going to play that well, I would have just done it remotely and over the weekend, but I wanted to be there and make sure that, you know, everything was going to play.
Yeah, you get one of those things. Yeah, I can do it remotely, but do I really want to do that? Take the network blip right at the time and trying to do something is all kind of wampus for stuff, and then you got to go out there anyways. Worse problem than you had before.
I ended up changing the frequency on the repeater, and I keyed it up. I said, you know, hurry, come back, and all that. Okay, great. And then I went to key it up again, and I couldn't key it up. I'm like, what the hell? And it's like, you know, and so I switched to the old frequency, and I keyed it up just fine. I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense. So I waited a minute, and then I couldn't key it up on the old frequency, but I could key it up on the new frequency. But then I couldn't key it up on the new frequency again. It was like I could key it up on the new frequency once, and then I couldn't key it up anymore, and I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? I know I'm missing something obvious. I forgot, because I haven't ran a P25 in so long. I got three channels in the thing. I've got the channel it listens on, and then it switches to channel 2 if it's analog, and channel 3 if it's digital. And then, you know, and that's a beep beep you hear, it switches back to channel 1. So I had changed the frequency in channel 1, and I had forgot about channel 2 and channel 3. And I'm sitting there going, and Wally's there with me. I go, I don't know what the hell I'm doing wrong here. I'm like, what the hell am I missing? And all of a sudden I went, no.
Well, so that one does, it has a P25 channel that doesn't go anywhere. That.
Right, right. Yeah, it's analog and P25, just like the 2-6, analog and P25. Not currently networked. We're still, I got to get with Donut Dave and the group and find out how exactly we're going to implement the P25 networking. But, you know, I want to get back to what we used to have it with the connection to, you know, the MI, what do they call their P25 network? I don't know, MI something or other. Anyhow, the MI5, P25 network, whatever, for lack of knowing which MI it is.
too many MIs out there, but I know what you meant. So
yeah, that'd be nice to get back to. You know, I know. I think TJ still got the VHF machine on B25, but I can't never get it to work. So I don't know if it works right in my radio or not.
Well, that's been the plan. The plan is to get that back operational. You know, it's just we lost the P25NX network when NX just lost interest and dropped out, and then Fields tried to you know, keep it running for a little while, but he's his own man. Let's just put it that way, and that was not working out too well, and. And then the whole thing just, you know, died on the vine. So when NX disappeared, you know, those guys are not networked per se. They're all connected direct. And then any networking they do is out of the system. So we needed the outward connection to connect to them where they do not. So to do that, I could connect up to them, you know, directly if I wanted to. And that's always a possibility, but it'll be a whole different kettle of fish if I go that route. But now that we have the 44 net everywhere, it's a much greater possibility than it once was, I suppose. I don't know. We got to figure out what we're doing as far as networking goes, and then go from there.
Yep, as everything, work in progress. It's all you can do, one thing at a time. As we always say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yep. Roger. All right, I am getting ready to turn down my street here. I'm going to get inside and figure out what the day brings or what awaits. And I will get back on the radio as soon as I get inside and get settled in. You should hopefully be not home yet. I'd like to hear how that Fred Moore run works for you.
All righty. Right at 23 mile right now. You got a little bit. Catch you shortly. It'll be an entry.
Yep, that should work out. Catch you in a few. W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees.
How's it going? It's going almost to the exit here. Yeah, almost there.
Roger. Now, I've been told that the audio on this is pretty low. Are you noticing any significant change in my audio level?
It's a little lower than what you were at a few minutes ago, but it's not bad. I mean, I can still make out what you got coming across.
All right. Yeah, so I don't... Well, you know what? Actually, yeah, this is actually probably close. Yeah, well, what I was doing before, this is probably closer. Well. Anywho, so getting off at... I missed my exit earlier today. I missed 26, and I had to go up there, and I was going to Richmond. I'm like, oh, I hate when I do that.
Actually, sometimes it's a little faster to come up 32 and shoot back across. By the time you hit all the lights coming up the other way.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, but you know, it just seems like a long ways. How far is it from Fred Moore in 94 in the Richmond? It's got to be 5 miles, right?
I think it's about 8, because we're 10 miles from the freeway. No, I'm 8 miles from the freeway this way, and I think it's another township. Yeah, it's six, 7 miles.
Roger, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, it seemed like quite a ways, but whenever I miss that exit, I just kind of go, ah, man, I think you've got to go so far out of your way, but
yeah,
it ain't all that bad. Anywho, so I just walked in. I haven't got my coat off yet. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. I had a couple of things. Wanted to make sure you weren't getting close.
Oh, no, I got a few minutes here, and I got one that's doing under the speed limit on Fredmore, so behind the poker. So, no, and I can't even tell the difference in the machine here. It doesn't sound any different to me than what it did before.
Okay, well, what I'll be curious is when you get out there toward home, that's where we're really going to test it. Like I said, there's probably a little to be had, but not much. It was so close, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to rock it. I hate tuning duplexers in the field. I'd rather do them on the bench. And, you know, and then a small, well, that's kind of a small adjustment, but to do them right, you got to go through each cavity one at a time, and it's just a royal pain.
Yeah, understandable. You want bench, you got all your tools, you got all your cables, you got everything, you know, controlled environment. Where comfort happens.
Roger that. All right, give me a minute. I'm going to get my coat off and my shoes and go get myself a drink, and I'll be back in a few minutes. Let me know if you pass any milestones, how it's working, but it should be pretty similar. Should be much little change.
Yeah, Fred Moore and Wadhams right now. Sorry about 4 miles to go here, so catch you in a minute. I'll be at NFC.
All right, where you at?
Fred Moore and King almost into town. So, you're coming full quiet, so that's good.
If I remember correctly, you carried it pretty well right into the driveway, right? But the driveway got a little noisy.
Yeah, a little noisy in the driveway, but that's to be expected. I sit down, or as where I'm at right now, I'm getting closer to the river. The elevation starts to drop, and I think the last time I checked it, there was leaves on the tree, too, so it might actually be a little bit better now that there's nothing on the tree.
That is true. So I did post to the Eastern Michigan ARC, you know, and I let the guys know on Telegram, and I don't know where else to post it, but I want to make sure that people up that way are aware. I think word should get out. I think most of the people that would get the word out have been notified.
I have a mass email that I get from E-Mark. I can do a full reply on there with that information.
All right, yeah, I just went to the Facebook page and put it on there.
Yeah, probably did too, so. Yeah, the other way too, but you never know.
There's another one of them country bumpkins.
I am not. I'm a country hick.
So you're going to give it a run
when you're off today? There is the city.
Okay. Well, I mean, are you already driving it, or are you
all
about working?
Bit of a double there, gentlemen.
Let's let Nick go. We're testing something here, and he's got to be closing in on the house. Nick?
Almost back in the driveway. How is that? I got to go quiet.
Pretty much no change, the way it always sounds, so... Just a little tiny flutter in the background. Okay, now that was kind of rough. I didn't catch that. I heard driveway. That's all I heard. All right, well, I think that's the end of the rope right there, but I think that's the way it's always been. I always remember that once you got in your driveway, it was kind of bad. So, okay, you might comment when you get back out here or connect up or whatever how you're hearing it and what the status was, but you're not making it right now. So, all right, catch you later. Well, unless you've got anything else to add from a better position, I'll pass it over to Dakota.
I tried. I pulled up into the street, so I hope that's a bit better, but yeah, driveway's bad.
In the street's fine, but the driveway's bad.
I'll try to get on the node when I get in the house here in a couple minutes, get my coat off. Catching a few WNS.
Right, I don't think anything's changed, which is good. All right, Dakota?
I don't have notifications on for Telegram, but I'm assuming I need to reprogram the Richmond repeater in my radios.
Yeah, we switched it to 225, so 442-225. Everything else is the same. Just drop it down 400K, which is a pain, I know, especially if you got it in a half a dozen radios. Anyhow, over to Tom.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, when I was sitting at Great Lakes Crossing over by that Primark we were talking earlier, once I moved away from the building, I actually hit 85 nice and clear, just to give you an update on that area.
Yeah, I'll call that a fluke. You must have just been in a good spot, a little high or something like that. I know there's some high spots out there, but I wouldn't expect to cover that. I will be curious when you go home tonight, as I don't know which way you're going to take home, but if you're going to run up 19 north out of town, I'll be curious to see how it works, and particularly how it works compared to how it worked, you know, before. Only because there's a chance that the duplexer is going to decrease performance just a little, not much, just a little.
Yeah, I guess you go through Romeo because I'm up here in where my Telegraph is able. So I usually go down Romeo Road, 32 Mile Road, and as soon as I bounce in there, so and then I go right into Richmond. So I drop down to 5 watts there and then tee up, and I'll let you know how it is.
Oh, I know, it's great there. It's just more when you get up toward home. All right, anyhow, enough of all that. Just I guess the thing is just reprogram your radios and let me know if there's any changes. I think we're pretty satisfied it's in good shape. Dakota?
I don't know how to use my 75 well enough to update my frequency on the fly, but I was going to test it out for you on my way home, too, see how it travels 53 north, but probably tomorrow. I'll update everything tonight. I only have a handful I got to do.
Yep. I guess the operative here is that nothing should change except for the frequency, you know, and it should all be the same. So it's all good. Pretty happy with it. Wally and I were up there this morning and reprogramming it. And we always look for an excuse to do breakfast. But I reprogrammed it and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working. And then I realized the thing that had gotten me last time I had reprogrammed that repeater. So it was like, you know, oh, it's a gotcha. Anyhow, it's all good now. All right. Anywho, nothing else to add. Next subject.
Is that starting tonight or tomorrow?
Right now, from what I heard, Macomb's in the clear, so I think we're good there. We'll probably get about an inch. But St. Clair and the surrounding counties are going to get between 1 and 3. It's supposed to start around 1900, I think.
Whatever. I'm ready for it. It's that time of year. If it's cold, might as well have snow. You guys have any suggestions on how to clean corrosion off of a connector?
What kind of corrosion? I usually use CRC contact cleaner, which is non-dielectric. Or is it dielectric? I don't know. I can use it on running motors, put it that way. Door strikes. So maybe CRC quick dry contact cleaner, or silly as it sounds, white vinegar.
The vinegar might actually do the trick. What is that considered? It's a UHF connection, PL259 on an antenna. That looks like water got in there and sat for a long time, so it's a little bit green and rough.
Yeah, try the white vinegar. It has just enough low pH. You know, like I said, it's acidic, but it's not too acidic, so it shouldn't eat away any of the metal except for the corrosion. So soak it in that for like 20 minutes and see if it makes
Okay, I'll try that out. I do have, I want to say I got contact cleaner. And then, Sean, if you're still there, chime in. Can I use dielectric grease on an antenna?
What would be the purpose?
As a, I don't know, like a moisture sealant on the threads to keep it from going up to the connector.
Okay, so we usually use some sort of dielectric grease for like the mount. Like if it's an NMO mount, it's a roof mount. There's a rubber ring that's underneath the ring that you screw down, and you put some grease underneath that. I've never used it on the outside thread part where the antenna goes down. I don't know that it really hurt anything. Probably not. So my opinion is I doubt it'll hurt. Could theoretically help. I've had more than a few antennas bind up over the years. That might help for something like that. So, yeah, I suppose that I never got it, but I suppose it worked. It'd be okay.
Okie dokie. I might order a new one, so I'm just trying to figure out how I can prevent same thing from happening, but this one seems to be working fine, so I think I might just run it. Try to find it in between the short ones and the tall ones, like a 28 to 30 inch would be ideal.
Oh, I gotta run and get a tissue. I'll be back. Don't get you. All right, sorry about that. Had to grab a Kleenex real quick. I was eating some hot salsa. Made my nose run.
Sinuses are clear now.
You say you're eating salsa?
Yep, chips and salsa. I don't know why. It was sitting there, looking me in the face. I said, oh, I'll have some of those.
Getting some kind of an interference, or is that some encryption, or what's going on here?
I don't know. Been on and off all day. Either somebody's left something on, or they're just being clever or something. You know, it's like, oh, what's this?
KZHKS. Sounds like an APRS beacon. That it does.
So maybe somebody just left it on, and I know some of these radios, if you turn it on, whatever frequency you have in a particular VFO, is it goes out on. I know the Yaesus do that, so somebody's got APRS on, and they have this, one of the repeater's frequencies in the APRS VFO.
Yeah, my 200's a single VFO, and it'll send it out to VFOA. Because there's no other VFO, but my 500 will do it at 144.39 like it's supposed to. I've been hearing it all day on this repeater. I thought it was me for a minute that it somehow got unmuted, so I double-checked and tried another repeater, and someone's pushing it through here.
I just checked my 75. It's not me, because I know mine will do the same thing, and it just, whatever you turn it on, whatever frequency on that VFO you're on, it just starts beaconing.
Roger that. Hey, Sean, were you the guy that shipped off his 500 for repair last week and it dropped off the face of the earth, or was that somebody else?
I don't know where Sean went, but that was me. I'm on my 75 now, and I beat that game.
It wouldn't be my
agency,
would it, guys?
It would appear to be a two-minute beacon.
So I'm trying to turn it on my radio so I can decode it.
That's a good idea. That's a brilliant idea. You'll have to let us know who it is.
I take that back. K8JTT just came across the display with that last one.
K8JTT. Man, double check that. He's in Brownstown. That's a long way.
coordinates in the southern brown town?
Normally when I get a beacon, it's just a single beep, but that noise we're hearing is the noise you hear when it sends out from the radio. So that's, I don't think it's coming from that guy.
I'm watching the monitor. It's coming in off the WHCMN 444.60 node 88OD.
The intelligence of this community is always baffling compared to being on the other side.
Well, except for the guy that left his APRS on, yes.
Good point.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering about the call, because, yeah, that's the Flint repeater. The guy's coming in on the Flint repeater. That call, maybe that's somebody's calling, but there's no repeaters on this network down that way at all. So, well, he could be going through a digipeater or something like that. Who knows? Anyhow, hopefully somebody's listening in the Flint area. You've got your APRS on.
K-E-A-Z-T-P.
Patrick. K-E-A-Z-T-P. Patrick. Earth to Patrick. Come on, everybody does it once, you know, at some point. It's no big deal. We'll have to see if it mysteriously goes away now, then we'll know he was listening.
I'm using the APRS PHY software modem on the iPhone. I picked it up.
He doesn't answer. Maybe he just turned the radio off.
Maybe he's here from my base at the Richmond. Well, please.
Well, it's some bacon fry, but you're solid. You could certainly work it. I mean, no need to, but you certainly could. You're doing much better than I can do, I think, from there.
So, this is working out.
What's the power level set at? Let me see. Well, your audio is kind of low, and you're fighting with the bacon fries, so I didn't catch that. Something about power.
Check what.
Anyhow, you might be right. Patrick might have just turned his radio off, going, "Oh no!" You know, now he's trying to figure it out. But I did that once before. I think I caught it pretty quick, though. I saw my radio transmitting. I went, "What the hell is that all about?" I think I caught it before it went out too many times. No good. Okay, I'm going to get over to allstarlink.org and change the, I just looked on the portal and this is coming back as 625, so I got to go change that. I'm going to do some necessary bookkeeping here on this before I get too carried away. W8FU, carry on. Thank you.
What up, Cujo? Programming a few of my radios with the newfound frequency. So, this is the first. Gotta go put it back in the little white car. I wanted to make sure I did it right. But it sounds like I did.
Yeah, I'm still keeping off of Warren because I'm up here. Where am I at? Well, I can't try to kick it back before my time is up.
I'm at my messy desk playing with my radios. So we got one down, a couple more to go. Got the pick 'em up truck, this one,
have base radio. I think that's it.
And I shall be happy.
Well, I already got this one, my mobile, my Alico. That was like an easy thing. That was like 3 minutes. But I got to do my MDR, my DMR, but I can only do that through my programming cable. That way I can keep the code plug up to date.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it went pretty quick. Little small snafu. Sean forgot to program the other two channels and the repeater, but after that, everything was good and smooth and worked nicely. So, and I think he said he's going to change out a set of duplexers maybe tomorrow, get them a little bit more in line, and maybe a tad better, maybe a tad worse, but statistically and analytically, it should be a tad better.
I have the utmost confidence in his abilities to correct the issue and make it, as it always is, very good.
Yipper. All right, Sheriff, I'm going to talk to you in a little bit. I think a couple more radios I want to get done before I get too lazy, so I will chat later. M-A-K-B-B.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, 32 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours, mostly cloudy, 32 degrees.
KE8VSI bubble.
Updated weather. Special weather statement. Special weather statement.
Sulfur.
KF8AYL, KE8VSI.
Oh, how's it going this evening? I'm knee-deep in trailer brakes. That's what I'm doing.
Trailer brake. Not sure if that's fluid or dust or if I'm thinking the wrong thing altogether.
Trailer, like towing trailer. Trailer brakes. Seems like a 1950s design they got going on those things. I've never dealt with them, but now I'm dealing with them.
Ah, okay. Does not sound like fun, especially on a cold, in the cold weather. Hopefully you're in a garage. I got to get some air in my tires. That's the most I would want it at this point. Hope it goes smooth for you. 50s design, yeah, they probably haven't changed much. Dang, not fun.
Well, I almost feel kind of stupid because I've been working on cars for 35 years. I've never had an equipment trailer, so it's a heavy equipment trailer. It's got trailer brakes. We've had it for a number of years. I was having some issues with the brakes. I didn't know they needed adjusted manually, like a 1950s car. I knew it had drum brakes, but I didn't know, like, a 1950s car, you needed to adjust them manually constantly. So my magnets wore, and, yeah, the magnet drags on the drum. I'm like, this, I took the thing apart, I'm like, this whole thing seems like a 1950s design. Like, there's nothing better out here today? Like, what is this? What am I looking at here? This looks like ancient technology.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I guess you would have to adjust them if they're that old. And so do you have the parts? Are they, I'm assuming they're drums and shoes rather than pads and calipers?
Yeah, the parts are fairly readily available, but yeah, it's a can of worms I didn't want to get into. I thought I'd just be able to adjust them a little bit and get them to work better, but no, the star wheels were froze, and then I took the hubs off, and everything in there is, I'm like, yeah, I've done drum brakes before. There's no problem with drum brakes, but I'm like, manually adjusting, they're not self-adjusting, like, why are they even using this today? There's no reason.
Yeah, I hear you. I've done my share of brakes in the past, haven't done them for years, but shouldn't be an issue. But the I don't think I've ever worked on, manually adjusted ones, so. I'll do a breaker.
Go ahead, breaker.
You said brake job, never mind. Anyhow, good evening, right? Go ahead.
Good evening, Sean. Did you get your chicken? That sounds yummy. I've already eaten. Homemade chicken stuff was pretty good. But churches sounds good, too.
You go get Pope, yes. Potpourri. Anyhow, Greg, hold on. Yeah, anyhow, I got it. On the way home now. Chicken shack. I got the chicken rib combo.
Oh, all right. Very good. That's eating good. I got to remember that next time I get chicken to get the ribs, too, because that's definitely a good combo.
I want to try that lead hose. Where is that?
Special weather statement.
Remember where Dooley's was? Dooley's got it demolished, and they put Lee's in there. I don't remember that. Where Dooley's?
Which Dooley's?
Yeah, it was Dooley's Bar. It was northbound Gratiot, just north of Masonic, on the east side, across from the mall. Huh. I don't remember that. Not really my stomping grounds, but, is that the one, is there one downtown that's supposed to be famous for their conies? Not that I know of, but it could be. Same thing, not my stomping grounds, but, you know.
Quick break.
Go ahead and pass it to Greg.
Yeah, that Julie's in Roseville. Just right where Gratiot and Little Mac meet. There was a bouncer, I believe, that was killed, and that was the cause for it to be closed, and that was probably within the last 5 years or so. I don't exactly remember when. W-A-R-C-Y. Have a good evening, gentlemen.
Yep, I remember that, and that is exactly what happened. There was a killing there, and then they closed shortly after that. one by me too. It's like Van Dyke in, I don't know, 23-ish, and I knew the owners there, and they ended up closing. I guess I don't know if they it wasn't shortly after the other one, but they just, I don't know, just didn't have enough business, I guess. I don't know. Another Dooley's on Hull Road, and that one closed a while back too, and I don't know why. Maybe it was the same owners. I don't know.
Man, how in the hell could I not know about this, that there's locations all over the area? That's crazy. Oh, well. Anyhow, I'm just about pulling up to home with the goods. I'm going to get inside. I'll be on the radio in a bit there, but we're doing Chicken Shack tonight, and I got no complaints with that. That's always good. W8FU. Nick?
I'm just coming back to the grocery shop myself. So, how's the audio? I'm actually right just about at the river. I don't know how my audio is coming in, but on the Richmond machine. So, after that, I'll say 7-3s and catch you guys later.
Sounds pretty good. No issues. VSI monitoring.
Dooley's on Hull Road closed because Sterling Heights PD made it a hunting hole and people couldn't go in there. They were losing money, so they had to close.
Yeah, I knew you had to be careful around there, right by that freeway entrance and everything, and there was always Sterling Heights PD there. They went there a bit when there was an occasion, but avoided it for that reason, and sometimes myself.
Hull Road Dooley's with a turkey shoot. WCD.
Hull Road is nothing like it used to be.
Good evening, 1900 hours, mostly cloudy, 32 degrees, updated weather, winter weather advisory.
From KFAS. Yeah, I think you're, if that's you, Dakota, you're keying up the repeater, but I don't hear any audio. I don't even hear snow or anything. It's just a key up.
All right, that was me.
Yeah, I heard your voice there a little bit, but you quickly went out.
Okie dokie, copy that. Appreciate you got them. Receive is way better than translate, apparently. Reach out the node. NADVF.
Alrighty, yeah, I got you all that time, but very noisy, so not worth it right now. But you'll get there, don't worry. KFAS.
Winter weather advisory. Special weather statement.
KFAS testing New Richmond frequency. It's a working. Hey!
everybody's busy reprogramming radios.
Maybe. Was it an easy fix to do?
Yeah, I didn't even have to tune the duplexer, although I'm going to tune one up on the bench, lab conditions, you know, in the get it perfect, because I think there's a touch to be had. But it didn't need it. It dropped right in, and everything was fine. So I said, oh, okay, that's easy. So Wally and I did lunch and called it a job well done. So I got the new duplexer all tuned up, and I'll probably get out there at some point and swap it out, but not really necessary.
Yeah, I'm receiving it over here with S3, like 110 dBm or whatever you want to call it. Of course, it's probably only relative to my radio, but but you know how I'm set up. I just got the antenna.
Right. No, it sounded good. There's some bacon fry, but it's fine. So, say be quick, close it. Yes.
Winter weather advisory.
So I am
special weather statement.
Right now in the process of reprogramming my radios. I just got through with the RT85s, moving on to the Anycone, and I gotta just go down the list.
Yeah, I was a little proactive. I went through all my radios and when you announced it, even though you didn't have it active yet. And so most of my radios are good to go. I have both in there. I have Richmond, I call it Richmond Old and Richmond. So I guess I can get rid of old.
Yeah, I had Richmond 1 and Richmond 2, and so anyhow, goes up now. All right, anyhow, back to it. I just, this cord is draped across my desk, and I got radios on the desk, and I just pulled the cord, and it knocked over a radio, and that hit my keyboard, which sent my computer to sleep. It's like, oy, oy, oy.
Alrighty, I'll let you do it. KF8S.
Yep. The hard part's going to be the motos. I got to use a special computer and cables and stuff for that, so I'll get to those. Thinking about playing hooky tomorrow. Once I think about it, it's hard to break that thought. All right, I'll be back. W8FU.
KF8S, W8EAP.
KF8S, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. That's coming in a little bit past the S and CTS. So, whatever that would be.
Okay, so that's a little bit better than how I'm receiving, but I'm not receiving it very well. I'm got like an S3. If you put it on that RSSI page, I get about S3.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Let's try it again.
Yeah, it can get a little bit S4. More accurate. S4. Meter gives you, has a number. And since we have the same radios, we're kind of compare with the same radio.
Roger, S4. It kind of flickers. But yeah. It'd help if I uploaded it. All right, I got to do a few more radios. W8EAP.
KF8S. I'm the UMP.
All right, I'm on the UMP real quick. How's that, Dave?
Yeah, you're much stronger over here.
Yeah, I think it's about an S7. Should be more than that, but whatever. I don't know. Weather doesn't really affect, or shouldn't really affect radio waves. But maybe. Alright, catch you in a bit. W8EAP.
KF8S.
Mm-hmm.
KF8CAR, KF8CR, this is 88OD. Okay, thanks for the comeback. 88OD clear.
Winter weather advisory. Special weather statement. Good evening, 20-100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 32 degrees. Winter weather advisory. Special weather statement.
Okay, it's going to be well.
Winter weather advisory. Special weather statement.
Yeah, very well.
WADAC, was that you? KF8S.
The call was KF8AYL. I don't know, were you looking for someone else? Your signal was a little rough.
I thought I heard my name. So, I've been monitoring a lot. So. All right, I'm gonna get back and listen. It's KF8S.
Winter weather advisory. Special weather statement. Good evening. 21 hours. Mostly cloudy. 32 degrees. Updated weather. Snow squall warning. Snow squall warning. Winter weather advisory. Special weather statement. Snow squall warning. Winter weather advisory.
Very well.
Winter weather advisory. Good evening. 22 hours. Mostly cloudy. 31 degrees.
Yeah, very well. Yeah, very well. Monitoring.
Winter weather advisory. Winter weather advisory.
Can't pay it well.
Winter weather advisory. Good evening, 23 hours. Mostly cloudy. 28 degrees.
Can't be there well. Yo, yo, ma. Can't be there well, monkey.
Winter weather advisory. Winter weather advisory.